Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, for the next few minutes, I want to bring you on a journey through the centre of the earth to find out why earthquakes happen, why minerals in the earth are dug up at huge expense, and to answer that classic question, could we dig a hole and come out the other side? Well, here to do that is Dr. Shane Bergen, physicist and associate professor of science education from UCD. Hello, Shane.
Good morning.
I'm delighted we're doing this. This is really exciting. These are the basic questions that fascinate us, but they're can be tricky enough to answer, can't they?
Absolutely, but they're fun.
They are. So what lies beneath our feet? I mean, is it solid ground? How long does it go on for?
It depends on where we are. But in Ireland, we're really lucky because of just virtue of where we are in the world. If we go out and start digging, we'll probably be digging through soil. And soil is this incredible mix of organic matter, minerals, ground up rocks, etc. And it's incredibly thin, right? In parts of Ireland, like the Burn, there's no soil at all. But you go a little further, and depending on where you are in the country, you'll hit rock, right? Different types of rock, from the limestone in the centre of Ireland, maybe the granite in Wicklow, etc. But it's all rock. And we would be perhaps fooled into thinking that we live on a very stable and sturdy and rigid planet because of this rock that we hit. But in fact, we live on effectively islands of rock, huge tectonic plates that that move around on a bed of molten rock below them, which is absolutely incredible. So this world on which we live is restless. I remember my very first day in secondary school. I could tell you what the first class was. It was a geography class, and the teacher's name was Mr. O'Leary. It was formative for me because the man burst into the classroom. He was an actor as much as a teacher, and he burst in to talk to us about chapter one in our geography book, which was called The Restless Earth. And he had me hooked. He had me absolutely hooked that we were going to spend so much time and energy thinking about how our world was formed and what was in it, and to understand how alive the place is, not just in terms of biology, but also in terms of geology, the stuff of rocks.
And his name was Mr. O'Leary.
Mr. O'Leary, James O'Leary.
Coincidence, isn't it? Given the week that's in it.
That's true. Oh, that man was absolutely incredible. I think he and many other teachers in my school just went on to inspire so many of us to go on and do the things we did.
So listen, let's get back to our tectonic plates now, because something happens when they bump into each other.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a plate of rock that's the size of a continent, right, say like Eurasia, bumping into or pushing against another piece of rock that's the size of North America, then again, there's political connections there too. Things are going to happen, right? At the edges of these plates, we get a lot of forces. And these plates can only push against each other for so long before something has to give. And we would know those consequences as earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So where one plate might slide beneath the other or slide above it, we get earthquakes. And earthquakes happen at the edges of these plates. So we'd be familiar with them around, say, like the Pacific Rim, places like Japan or California or Chile. Indeed, you can get them around the middle of the Atlantic as well. Unfortunately, we don't get them too much here in Ireland. But just October gone, there was a registered earthquake in Donegal. It was registered by a teacher who had seismic equipment in his classroom. He was collaborating with research scientists. So he and his students registered a 0.9 magnitude earthquake in Donegal, which is a small tremor, mm-hmm. right? So,
but a tremor nonetheless.
Yes. Now, earthquakes are measured on something called a Richter scale. It's a logarithmic scale. So an earthquake of strength 1 compared to an earthquake of strength 2, there's a 10 times difference. And just for comparison, the famous St. Stephen's Day earthquake back in 2003 was 9.3 on the Richter scale, which would have been 100 million times stronger than the earthquake registered in Donegal. And right. it had devastating consequences.
That gives us a sense then of the difference.
Just so the scale, yeah.
Are we going to go a little deeper then than the tectonic plates? What's
yes.
beneath them?
Well, they're really thin, firstly, right? So they range between 5 to 70-ish kilometres, which, given that the diameter of the Earth is 6,300 kilometres, it's really only a tiny crust. Right, a little shell, like an eggshell around the Earth. Below it is the main bulk of the Earth, something called a mantle. Now, we haven't quite gotten there yet, right? We've only been able to drill down around 12 kilometres into the Earth, right? We had to do this by going to the bed of the Atlantic Ocean, actually just this year, and sending down a big core. So they drill down a very narrow core into the crust of the Earth because it's thin there. Mm-hmm. And they were able to just about get some rocks from this next layer called the mantle. And in that zone, right, which accounts for 80% of the Earth's bulk, are all of these sort of, I wouldn't call them molten rocks, but the rocks are under such force, such heat, such extreme pressures that they flow, right? Magma is what's down there. And the core that we extracted was like something from the X-Files, really, when you start to think of dragging these things up from the depths of the Earth. It was rich in a mineral, in an element called magnesium. So it was bright green when people were to extract it. Imagine going digging in your garden, hitting rock and pulling out bright green. You probably think you'd got emeralds, but no, it was maybe just a bit of magnesium.
So that extends then to how far?
It goes quite a bit down, thousands and thousands of kilometres down into the Earth.
This is the mantle.
It's the mantle. So it's the main bulk of the Earth. And then once you go below it, you reach what's called the core of the Earth. And the core of the Earth is divided into two. There's the outer core, which is liquid, right? It's comprised of liquid nickel and liquid iron. And it's at temperatures of around 5,000 degrees Celsius. And within that, then there's a solid core of iron. And again, the temperatures there are extreme. They're close to the same temperature as the surface of the sun. So the innards of the Earth are incredibly hot, and that heat is there primarily as a kind of an after effect of the formation of the Earth, which mm-hmm. was a very, very violent effect.
We have never been there.
No.
Nobody has ever gotten that far.
No, and we probably could never actually get there, yeah, because there's no material that we have that would withstand the temperatures and pressures. Nothing that we have invented yet could get us there.
But what happens in the core of the Earth does have consequences, Shane, that we feel and we know about.
Yeah, the liquid outer core of the Earth is made, as I said, of nickel and iron. They're magnetic materials. Because they're moving, they generate what we would call a magnetic field, right? And that allows us on the surface of the Earth to see this invisible field. So we can define a north and we can define a south. So if you build a compass, it'll always point north or south. And so in the early days of exploration, humans were able to just kind of have a North Star. They're able to know which way was north. And so navigation and exploration was possible. But perhaps on a more fundamental level, the magnetic shield of the Earth protects us on the surface of the Earth from harmful radiation from the sun. So the sun spits out these high energy particles, and if they were to interact with you or I or any other organic material, they could cause damage, and that damage would result perhaps in cancer. But the magnetic shield of the Earth deflects them. So it's like an invisible shield you'd see in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And it deflects these harmful pieces of radiation.
So, just so I clear now in my own head, this magnetic shield is generated from the core, where we've never been.
Yeah.
It's getting through the mantle, the tectonic plates, mm-hmm. all of the stuff on top of that, whether it's water or soil. Yeah. And it's still fully operational on the surface of the Earth.
Yeah, except for two places, right? So it's, you're right. It's, imagine it gets through all of that material and it shows you how much iron and nickel are down there to generate these huge fields. And it works virtually everywhere except the North Pole and the South Pole, where it's at its weakest. And therefore, we see the consequences of that weakness from time to time. When the sun is very energetic, it might have a solar flare and it spits out massive amounts of radiation into the so-called solar wind, which drift towards the Earth. Incidentally, there's a whole area of weather called solar weather that Ireland is actually really good at predicting how the sun's weather works, not just the Earth. But at the North and South Pole, we see the interactions of these particles with the weakened field. And that gives rise to the aurora borealis, which you see in the Northern Hemisphere, or the aurora australis, or the Southern Lights, if you're down in the Southern mm-hmm. Hemisphere. And we see the interaction of these particles with the magnetic fields. And that gives light to all of those beautiful colours.
The beautiful, mystical light that we see. So why is the magnetic field not working in the way that it does everywhere else when you talk about the North and South Poles?
Yeah, it's the nature of how magnetic fields work is that they tend to extend around two points, a north and a south pole.
And then are they interacting with each other at those
points? Yeah, all of the lines lines of this magnetic field gather at the North and South Pole. And so they have a weaker effect there. There's like a little gap. It's like a well, okay, basically, in the magnetic field. It's fascinating.
It certainly is. But I'm wondering how we know what's at the core of the Earth if we haven't been there and probably never will. Because
that's a great question, right? And this happens all the time in science. How do you know if you haven't seen it? Mm. How do you know if you've not been
the
there?
Doubting Thomas theories.
Yeah, well, you'd make a great scientist, Claire, because that's what we have to do. We have to infer using other data, and we rely on earthquakes. So when an earthquake happens, it sends a wave through the Earth from one side to the other. And the wave, the nature of the wave will change depending on the material through which it is travelling. So when it goes from one region to another, its characteristics change, right? So it's like the way light bends when it goes from air into water. And so we're able to tell basically the makeup of the Earth by how the earthquake waves change, mm-hmm, which is incredible. So these earthquake waves can actually travel from one side of the Earth through the middle all the way to the other side.
Okay, so when one of my children asks me, if we start digging now, how long will it take us to get to Australia? Would we ever get to Australia? What do I say to them?
You say, keep digging, because it's going to keep them busy. But they're probably not going to get to Australia, and they're probably not going to get that far at all, right? If the antipode of where you and I are here in Dublin, so the other side of the world from us is actually the South Pacific. So we'd be a little bit off Australia. We'd have to detour. But even if we had strong shovels and willing children, we'd only get so far, because we get through the crusty rock at the outer shell, and then we get into this molten or liquidy like phase in the mantle and the core, and so you can't really dig through that. It'd be like digging through honey.
Yeah. I'll explain that to them. I have all the information now. Shane, thank you so much. That's Dr. Shane Bergen. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.